likes to eat? I would say everyone.
Wendy, at our house, we eat almost every day. That's how much we enjoy the food at our house. Yep.
Sure. We would like to introduce to you our first guest of anonymity.
Yeah, we've never had a guest who, because of their job, we've had to cover up. For people who watch us on the internet, you can usually watch the show, and you're usually very disappointed in what you
see.
I
know, so just stop watching altogether. I got into radio so people couldn't see me. Sometimes our hair is bedhead. You know, come on.
Right.
Quit watching.
Penny Pollack, because of her job, she's the dining editor over at Chicago Magazine, and she needs to remain anonymous because I'm guessing, Penny, what would happen is you would go into a restaurant and you would be treated specially because they would want to leave an impression.
And it's so tempting.
Yeah. Sure.
But, I agree with Wendy. You know, I have a face for radio.
Oh, so stop. I did not.
Fine.
You can't
That's
agree with
why.
Me.
But
so being anonymous makes it pretty impossible for a restaurant to up their game when they see you walk in. And that's obviously the importance of that.
Exactly. And it has, there's quite an evolution over the years. When I started as the assistant in the department that I'm now in the big seat.
Dining editor.
I'm the big mouth or whatever. We always made reservations in other names, but dining was so much more traditional, and we would very almost huddle at the table so no one would notice us. And then when the waiter or waitress left the table, we'd secretly pass the plates around so that they wouldn't know we were reviewers. And looking back on it, it's kind of a cartoon.
Do you think of it more of a cartoon?
For
huh?
people looking at that table, you mean?
Yeah, like did the waiter or waitress notice that I was eating fish instead of steak, which I started with?
Mm-hmm. But people share, right? Other than Bill, he will
not
share with his family.
Back in the day.
No.
Really?
No. Now you can barely navigate a table because there are so many little plates going on.
Yep.
And everyone's poking their fork. And I think we should get extender forks, and then we wouldn't have to.
They make those.
Let's do it.
That's the future.
Because I have one that it was a joke gift, and sometimes I see my husband use it as a back scratcher.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about what you called the little plates in just a little bit, but explain this to me. When somebody who's critiquing a restaurant or particular food, when you go in, you don't want one thing or two things. You want a variety of things so you get a better flavor of what that restaurant's guidelines are, what their scope is. Huh?
Exactly. And whoever the reviewer is, whether it's me or one of my wonderful critics, that person is the boss of the table.
Yeah.
So I suggest what people might like to eat. Mm-hmm. No one can order. There's no duplications allowed. So if you want steak and Wendy wants steak, flip a coin.
Really?
Only one of you is going to get it.
But then I have order envy, and then if he gets the steak and I don't, I'm going to want the steak.
I know. But, you know, he'll give you a bite.
No, Bill, only family.
In
fact, it's great we have Penny Pollack in here, the dining editor for Chicago Magazine, because, Bill, we were just talking about this last week. Do you remember there are some times where you'll be between two items and you ask the server which way to go, or frequently you'll get the special? What about that? Do you know anything? Is it the special just food they need to get rid of because they have an abundance from the day before?
The special might be fish that they ordered in super fresh and they want it to sell that night. The special, I'm just thinking of this right now, could be pop-up. We have all these pop-up restaurants. It could be a pop-up dish. Maybe the chef is trying it out to see if it should make the menu. I would say there, whatever the special is, there's a limited number. I just stayed at Green River a week or two ago, and there's a Slagle Farms 100 and million days dry aged, you know, ribeye steak.
Bone in. Oh, yeah. Now
and
you're talking.
There's only one for the night.
What?
How can that be?
Get there early.
So the waiter kind of makes it all exciting, like it's almost a game.
Sure.
Do you still have the steak? I want the steak. Did you sell the one steak?
That seems to be poor planning, though, doesn't it? Kind of.
They always sell it, I bet.
Yeah, I guess
I bet
they would.
They do.
Yeah. So what came up a week or so ago is I was saying a lot of times in a restaurant situation, if my mind is not made up between two or three or four items, I'll say to the waiter or waitress, surprise me. You, whatever you think is best, bring it. I'm fine with that.
I do that all the time, especially on desserts, yeah. because dessert is ultimately everyone's kind of full and the table's discussing it and this guy wants chocolate and this guy wants apricot. And I'll just say, bring two desserts.
Mm-hmm.
And that works out well.
Why not? Live it up.
Looks like you've been doing it right all these years.
Yeah, I guess
Bill.
So. Good.
I think so.
Finally have confirmation of this. Penny Pollack is here. She is the dining editor for Chicago Magazine. We're going to talk more about her career and about food. And if you want to jump in, please do. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Penny Pollack is here. Penny is the dining editor for Chicago Magazine, and she's talking about her career and food in general in the city. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200.
Bill, Penny also mentioned that a restaurant special could be kind of like these new pop-up restaurants that are happening where a chef might just want to try out a new dish. You're a big fan of that pop-up restaurant at the Nordstrom building.
Yeah, up in the food court at Nordstrom, they have an open space that is a revolving restaurant situation. It's a different restaurant every day. And it's to me, it's like opening up a Christmas
present. You just told the dining
present.
Editor of Chicago Magazine something she didn't know.
Were you not
tell.
Aware of this?
In the Nordstrom store or the mall?
In the mall, there's a food court up on the...
I know the food court intimately.
Yeah, so so it's become one of my favorite places because it is something new every day, and I go and check it out. I don't eat there every day, but every day it's, you know, it can be Caribbean food one day and Mexican food the next or seafood the next. I love it.
Is that new?
They've been doing it about 2 months now.
Okay. Okay.
And someone has texted, does your guest, Penny Pollack, only review restaurants that require a reservation? That's a good question.
Absolutely not. And there's a growing movement against reservations anyway. Lots of places are just getting line, like all over Randolph Street. Oh, my God.
But, Penny, you know what? A reservation used to mean you'd make a reservation for 7:30. You'd get there a little bit before 7:30, and at 7:30 they'd call your name and you were escorted to your table. It doesn't play that way anymore.
It really doesn't. You could wait in the bar.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's where the money is for the restaurant.
Right, right.
And a friend of theirs will come by and take your 7:30 reservation.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And I would, too, if I owned a restaurant.
Well, here's how we know, for instance, Jeff Ruby, my chief dining critic, mm-hmm. is anonymous because he had a reservation at C Chicago, that place that took over Kiefer's spot.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's very expensive, she pretentious. And he had a reservation, but a politician came in kind of at the same time. Mm-hmm. And bye-bye, Jeff's table.
Oh, no.
I mean, we make reservations in other names.
Yeah.
Of course.
So that
do you use
just
goofy
proves
names?
That we're doing it right.
Anonymous, yeah. Do you give wacky names every once in a while just for the fun of it?
We used to, but, you know, you have to pick a name that you can remember.
Oh, right. There's that. That's true.
That's a good idea. Joe is on the line. Joe, do you have a question for Penny Pollack, dining editor for Chicago Magazine?
I do. I eat out quite a bit in the city, and there's only two restaurant critics I depend on, and that's Phil Vitale and Penny Pollack.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask Ms. Pollack, when you review a restaurant that is really bad, do you tell that restaurant, say, here's where you failed, here's what you got to improve on if you want to make it? Or you just let them see it in the review?
I let them see it in the review.
Ouch! That is cold!
Telling them is up to the public.
Oh.
And their PR people, or they got to figure it out for themselves. Otherwise, that puts me in the role of consultant.
Sure.
And I'm not a consultant.
That makes sense.
That does make sense.
If a poor review comes out, and we don't like to do bad reviews, if you check through our archives, unless a restaurant is, if it's a really big name place and they totally blow it, then mm-hmm. we're going to give them a bad review. But if we're disappointed by the little guy that opened a Puerco Tacos Only that we might have done for Budget Beat, but we don't like it, I'm just leaving it alone. There's just no point. We want to tell our readership what's good, where to, you know, where they should eat, what they might really enjoy.
That was a great question, Joe.
Thanks.
Happy eating.
Penny, what about this? I always think if I owned a restaurant, I would want to know from my customers what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. My wife and I have been in several situations where things weren't quite up to snuff. And I always say, I'm going to say something to the manager. And my wife begs me, no, please don't. But like I said, if I was running a restaurant, I would want a potential repeat customer to say, here's the reason I'm not coming back. Try to fix it. Is there anything wrong with that?
I'm totally on your side, but we're in the minority.
Yeah.
And my here's my argument in favor of telling the restaurant you were disappointed. First of all, as you said, you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it's a social situation other than other different retail. Like if you go out and buy something at Nordstrom's after your pop-up lunch at the mall, mm-hmm. and you get this wonderful shirt home and it's frayed or the button's not, something's wrong with it. Are you going to take it back?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you are.
Mm-hmm.
And Nordstrom's is going to make it right for you.
Absolutely.
And then Nordstrom's earned you as a repeat customer.
Yeah.
The restaurant wants to know, and I have this argument with people constantly. If I don't like the table, I say so.
Yeah.
If I don't like anything, the restaurant wants to know the meat is cooked well done. I ordered it rare. Even if I think the portion's really kind of small, I'll have someone else at the table say something.
Really?
I don't like to be real obvious.
Yeah, sure.
But I absolutely am in favor of the customer telling the restaurant.
Good.
Because the restaurant wants to know.
I was just going to say, I would imagine, Bill, you're right about that. The owner would like to know that.
You would think.
I do it in kind of a passive-aggressive way. We go to this place all the time, and I ordered a Denver omelet with cheddar. I got Denver with American cheese, and when the waitress came back and said, is everything okay? I said, you know what? It's pretty good, but I just wanted you to know it's not cheddar, it's American. And she said, oh, I'll make you another one. And I said, no, I'm good. And my husband goes, why'd you even tell her if you didn't want a new one? I said, because I didn't want to sit and eat my omelet after the kids and you are finished. Should I have not said anything?
Your timing, it's all in the timing.
I have no timing. I have none. Ask Bill, ask my husband, my kids.
If you knew on the first bite, I think you should have just said, you knew.
Really? Now, the one you said about the portions being too small, that's a tough one. My wife and I ate in a restaurant 2 years ago. The food was outstanding, but we were so hungry when we were done. And I don't know how you address that without sounding like a pig, you know? But it was about a third of the amount of food that we should have gotten.
Did you stop at Portillo's on the way home?
We had to, yeah. That was our only alternative, yeah.
Some places are like that, though. If it's a rich dish, they're not going to give you a giant portion of it.
But I demand 6 McNuggets, not 4, Penny. I want all 6. It was Mexican food, and I learned the word taquitos means, in this case, extremely small tacos. Because it was an order of 3 of them, and each one of them was bite-sized.
Well, the only way to combat that, it's really not too cool to say I was expecting more food.
But yeah.
I've learned when I order.
Okay, Chubbo, that's what they're going to say to you.
I know.
I ask if it's, you know, there's going to be pieces. You're not ordering your steak dinner. You're ordering fritters.
Right.
I ask how many there are.
Oh, you can ask that? Yeah, why not? Sure.
Especially to just touch on my small plates issue.
Yeah.
Everyone loves to share.
Yeah.
And so many small plates come with 3 things on it instead of
enough.
4.
Because 3 is pretty presenting.
But generally, there's an even number
of people
at the table. Nothing against all you single folks
right.
or people who like to go out by yourselves or whatever. I'm all for it. But if I'm the waiter or waitress and I'm recommending that you're just going to love the egg rolls
mm-hmm.
and there's 4 of you and then I bring you 3,
mm-hmm. that is bothersome.
Yep.
That's one of my pet peeves.
And then they play out it's Darwin's survival of the fittest right there at the table, isn't it? Let's see who's the weakest link here at the table.
She's Penny Pollack. She's been the dining editor for Chicago Magazine for over 20 years, with the magazine for even longer than that. And someone in closing has a great little question here. Can a food editor ever go to a restaurant and just enjoy the food, or is she always in review mode?
I'm never... Not
really.
I try to be social, and I encourage my friends to decide what they want to order.
Yeah.
And they won't pick the restaurant, and they won't pick the entree, and they won't. So I'm forced into this role when I'm not working.
Yeah.
And then if they really do leave me alone, that part of me comes out anyway.
Yeah,
sure. Because I would like to go out to dinner with Penny Pollack because she would tell us where to go, what to order.
Yep.
It would make our lives easier and
way
hers
easier,
much harder.
Way easier.
Thanks.
Great to finally meet you, Penny.
You too.
It really is. Penny Pollack is her name. Dining editor for Chicago Magazine. Pick it up. You will enjoy it. We'll take a quick break and then more show coming your way after that. Bill and Wendy, WGN.